My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me now and we will explore these topics and so much more with fascinating guests, authors, and experts who will guide us to Destination Unlimited. 2020 has been a year of transition in so many ways. Many of us have experienced the loss of loved ones, and our grieving has been amplified by the stressors of COVID, unprecedented division, economic struggles, and fear. Is there a message of hope available from those who have transcended this life to comfort us with the knowledge that death is not the end and that love is eternal? My guest this week on Destination Unlimited, Carol J. Obley, has been the bridge between heaven and earth in more than 9,000 group and individual readings with startling clarity, specificity, and accuracy about people's loved ones in spirit. Names, description of loved ones' personalities, and uncanny validating details, as well as grief support and teachings about the afterlife, are typically delivered in her readings. Heartfelt and compassionate in her approach, Carol is also well known for her practical, down-to-earth guidance and insight into life issues such as relationships, career, and finance. She's been a frequent guest on national broadcasts, including Coast to Coast AM. Carol is the author of Embracing the Ties That Bind, I'm Still With You, and Soul to Soul Connections. She travels nationally to speak and teach workshops, as well as maintaining a practice in mediumship based near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Her website is soulvisions.net, and she joins me this week to discuss her path and her latest book, Wisdom from the Spirit World. Please join me in welcoming to Destination Unlimited, Carol J. Obley. Welcome, Carol.
Hello, Victor. Thank you so much for having me on your wonderful show.
And
I really
appreciate
it.
I appreciate you because you're sharing some messages that we all need to hear at this time. So, Carol, please share with our listeners your early path and how it led you to your connection with spirit.
Yes, that's been many years ago. I've been practicing mediumship and have given actually... I know you were reading from an older bio, but it's probably well over 11 or 12,000 readings at this point. And that includes many years of radio. So unlike some mediums, I actually did not realize when I was much younger that I had this sensitivity or the ability to hear the non-physical. And however, I was born with it. I know that 100%. I've studied my astrological birth chart, and it's right there in my birth chart. But I really didn't awaken to this until my mid to late 30s. And like many people that are on the pathway today of spirituality, there was a tragedy that happened to me that really functioned as one of these things called a wake-up call. And that tragedy was a fire. Business that I was running overnight had an electrical fire, and it essentially burned me out of it, and I was unable to rebuild. So from that point, I was left directionless for almost a year. I had no clue what I wanted to do with my life. I'm in my mid to late 30s, and I had no idea what direction to turn. So in essence, what really happened, and to make a long story very short, a friend of mine called me up and said, you need to come to a metaphysical center. And I said, why would I want to go there? Although I did have a lot of interest in the paranormal and metaphysics and the occult when I was young, UFOs and ghosts and what happens after we die. But I had kind of gotten away from it. And so she invited me to go there, and it took another phone call for me to go to this center, which is in a small town near where I live here. And I ended up going. And from that point on, I felt exceedingly comfortable there. And I started taking numerous workshops, particularly on healing. I'm sure some of your audience is familiar with hands-on healing, such as Reiki, the Japanese modality with life force energy. And so I took these sorts of classes in addition to getting mediumship in-depth and intensive mediumship training the following year. And from there, my pathway has been up and down, but mostly it's been steady. And it's like day and night. The readings that I started with way back in the 90s compared to what I'm doing now. I always say that mediumship or healing is a self-upgrading program, in that the conduit of the medium is always being refined and sensitized to a greater degree. And not for the glory of the medium, but to bring a deeper level of profound healing to people, proving the continuity of consciousness after death.
Absolutely.
And that's the main reason that is the main reason I do this, so that people understand the eternity and the unlimited potential of their own soul, in addition to connecting and knowing the eternal bond of love with those who have passed into the spiritual world.
I find it fascinating that you had the interests as a child and then waited to your mid to late 30s to really engage the practice. I actually had the same experience, and I'm wondering, is the mid to late 30s the turning point for many of us?
Well, I don't know. I know for myself, I had a lot of problems with addiction. I'm very open and honest about those. I've written about those in all of my books, because it makes me who I am. And if it were not for those very painful times, I would not have had the awakening into spirituality and the true potential of why my soul came here. So I think, Victor, I think that any level of spirituality, there's some sort of suffering or superficiality in life that precedes that. And through that kind of shadow or that duality, we awaken to, oh, okay, that this is not what it's really about. And so I find, and I don't know about you personally, but many, many people that I've studied and actually learned from on this pathway have had some sort of traumatic experience. Not everybody, of course, but many of them, to be able to really awaken from that suffering into a deeper level of understanding who they are at the soul level.
With the thousands of readings you've done, what are the most compelling messages that Spirit brings and they've imparted to you through these sessions?
Well, there are many of them. I will talk about one or two, but I just want to mention the new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. This book, which just was published in September, is a compilation of those messages. And there are basically 10 of them. And they're themes that repeated over and over in multiple sessions. So I woke up 2.5 years ago, one July morning, and I knew intuitively what I was going to write about. There was about 5 years between soul-to-soul connections, comforting messages from the spirit world, and this new book. And I knew I was probably going to write another book, but I didn't have a clue what the topic was going to be. So when I woke up that morning, I heard in my head, this is what you need to write about, the messages that have been very compelling that people need to know about from this sort of higher expanded vision from those in spirit. And by the way, just so that people don't misunderstand, I'd like to clarify that when we go back into spirit, when our physical life here ends, we don't immediately become enlightened, or, you know, we don't, you know, sit on the clouds and with the angels and play harps and so forth. We have the consciousness that we left here with. So one of the things that I enjoy doing is telling people, you know, your dad had a certain personality here, and he might have been very harsh or he was unloving. But from his newfound perspective in the spirit world, he's seen that that was a mistake, that that was a wrong choice on his behalf. Because sometimes people will question, I mean, not all readings are rosy, uplifting things. Some of them are very difficult in that there's healing being facilitated. So some of the more compelling messages have been just those. Also, people who have lost children, I think, are, those readings have touched me very deeply. In my second book, I'm Still With You, there's a whole chapter. It's called Forever Young, and it's people who have lost children. Some of those were quite compelling in the evidence that was presented. For example, there's one story in there in which a young man, I think he was 22 when he died, he died very suddenly in a car crash. His family, his mom, dad, and sister came to me for a family session. And there was so much startling, true facts imparted through that session that it actually blew me away, because a lot of times I don't even know what I'm saying when I do readings for people. I have no idea, but I trust at this point that those things make sense. This young man came through. He presented the name of the, tragically, the friend of his that came upon him as he was lying there on the highway after this accident. So, and he also presented a lot of evidence of what was going on currently in his family. And interestingly, in this particular session, I used to burn incense in those days. And I had extinguished this incense like an hour before this family came to me. And it was sitting behind me. During the course of this session, this incense lit spontaneously. And the family who were sitting in front of me facing the desk where this was sitting said, "Oh my gosh, look at this smoke coming out from this incense." And I turned around, I said, "That's very odd, because I know I put this out. I even checked it with my fingers to make sure it wasn't hot." And there it was. And so I should have known, because this young man that came through would produce all sorts of phenomena through electronics with his family in the home, through the television, the answering machine. And he wanted to let them know that he was still conscious, that he was still part of the family. So that's just one example out of my case files of thousands of evidential material from those in the spirit world to provide comfort and peace that they are still connected to the family or to loved ones through that bond of love, which is eternal.
I know from personal family experience that the loss of a child is one of the most devastating losses we can experience. What message do you have for families who are having that experience themselves at this time?
At a certain point, and this is emphasized in I'm Still With You, at a certain point, we have a choice to remain in suffering or to use something incredibly painful and tragic as a springboard and a catalyst for our own spiritual evolution, and also in service to others who are on that same pathway. For example, there are people who I've read for who have lost children. A big thing that I talk about in the new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, is the opioid epidemic. I've done many readings for people who have lost sons and daughters and grandchildren from overdoses. And that's incredibly painful for people. If people can recognize that they can use something very painful for their own spiritual understanding and growth, and also to help those who are not as far along on that pathway. So say that, you know, the death happened a couple of years ago. There's somebody who just lost a child yesterday. And it's very, very fresh as far as the suffering and the sorrow of that loss. So I really urge people to look at how can I heal from this, but at the same time, reach out and be of service to others. And in so doing, I am also healing myself and my family.
Absolutely. And I'm certain that there are support groups all over the United States and around the world for families who've had just that experience.
There are. The Compassionate Friends comes to mind. I've recommended those organizations to people. And I think people need to really know that there are spiritual tools at their disposal every second of every day. They don't have to go anywhere. That's especially important in this time that we're in right now of isolation and, you know, social distancing. There are many online groups. There is the wonderful tool of mindfulness meditation, which absolutely has changed the fabric of my life. I write about that extensively in the new book. And also the connection with nature, Victor, is very healing for many people. If you want to understand spirit, if you want to understand higher source, God, whatever your word is for that, turn to nature, because there is stillness and there is presence and there is purity in nature. And it's exceedingly healing for people to recognize that.
Absolutely. Your new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. Your first chapter, your first section of the book, part one, says you signed up for this. Do we sign up for this?
Yeah, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Yes, we do. I want people to understand, however, and I explain this in that chapter. And by the way, all of my books are very simply written. I feel that people need to grasp some more difficult metaphysical concepts or spiritual ideas. And there's only one way to do that if you're a writer, and that's by bringing it down and making it highly accessible so that people can understand it. We don't sign up for things on a conscious or rational level, certainly. However, on a soul level, with soul consciousness, which of course is the spark of the divine within every living being, including animals and plants and trees, all of it. We sign up for particular experiences. And the reason for that is there is only one reason, and that is for our own personal evolution. And at the same time, the evolution of those whose lives that we touch and intersect in a physical lifetime. So that's the only reason we come here to this great plane of duality. I call it the great schoolroom. You know, we have opposites here in the spirit world. That doesn't exist. The spirit world is a place of unity and uniformity. Here on the earth plane, there are great contrasts. And so we learn paradoxically. We learn unity through duality. And so that's the paradoxical nature. The further I go on the pathway, and maybe this has happened to you as well, the more paradox that I see and experience. So this is one of them, that we learn our underlying unity with all of life through experiencing the shadow of that, which is duality and separateness.
Absolutely. We're going to be talking more about your new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, in the next segment. My guest is Carol J. Obley. Carol, please tell our listeners where they can find out more about you, your wonderful work, and where they can get your books.
My website is soulvisions, that's plural, visions.net. And all of my books, you can get autographed copies through my website. I personally sign them and ship them out. All of my products are also available on Amazon and also electronically on Kindle and Nook. I also have CDs for home study, meditation CD, and a 3-CD set for home study of intuitive development.
And you have some webinars coming up, don't you?
I do. And mediumship, which is extensive, that's a 6-week webinar. And then in March, I am teaching a 3-night in a row, and I love to teach, Victor. I really enjoy teaching. This webinar, the 3 nights in a row, is the tarot, and very, very affordably priced. I want people to be able to take these if they're interested, and we will be looking at the tarot from a spiritual perspective. This is not, so much with fortune telling. It's about the spiritual archetypes in the tarot.
And you can find out more about those at her website, soulvisions.net. We'll be back with more of Carol after these words on the OM Times Radio Network.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. They can help save lives by not having playdates. That's right. By replacing get-togethers with virtual playdates and video chats, they can help slow the evil spread of germs. And if your superheroes do go outside, make sure they continue their superhero wing by staying 6 feet away from others to protect everyone in America land. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
On Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Carol J. Obley. We're talking about her brand new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. We were briefly touching upon this before about signing up. In the book, you write about soul maps and karmic lessons. What are these, and how do they manifest in our lives?
Soul maps are really, you know, part of them are what we signed up for this time. In my books, I call those blueprints. Blueprints are a bit more open-ended than contracts. When I, you know, hear the word contract, it's really a binding agreement. Blueprints are more of a design or an outline that we can fill in once we come here into physical incarnation. So we have this gift of, we have this ability of free will. And so there are certain experiences that our soul needs, more wisdom with, more direct hands-on with. And then there are other things, you know, karmically. Karma simply meaning cause and effect. It is a natural law, meaning it's immutable. It's always in operation, much like gravity. So the karmic lessons are what we've come in this time to really balance and heal and to bring awareness to it. One of our internal navigators on the map is our own intuition. The power of intuition is that still small voice. You know, many people have described it as such. But it's really the compass that enables us to navigate these maps of the direction of our soul much easier than if we're trying to do that through the rational mind or the extension of the rational mind, which is the ego. And by the way, I don't demonize the ego. I know in a lot of, quote, New Age teachings that the ego has been demonized. I certainly don't look at it like that. It simply is a necessary part of us. You know, that when we go back into the spirit world, we really don't have. But it's much easier to use the internal tools to navigate our direction than the ego, because the ego is operating from a relatively, comparatively to the soul, from a limited perspective and from a linear, you know, point A to point Z perspective, whereas the soul operates in unlimited potential and from a much more expansive perspective. And that's the value of giving way to the intuition. And even though it doesn't make sense rationally, and I, you know, every time, I don't know about you, but every time I've gone against my intuition, I've ended up saying, you know, I wish I would have listened to that. So, and I've read for many people who say the same thing. So really, we come in to learn how to pay attention to our soul, which is never going to misguide us. And, you know, a lot of people talk about these beings called spirit guides as well. And they are a part of our soul map because they work through the soul. They work through the energy centers or the chakra in the body. And they're always there to help us do this navigation.
You talked about listening to our intuition, and I had an experience a few years ago where I was driving on a local highway. I was in the left lane, driving at the speed limit, as many cars were. There were many cars. And my inner voice said, get out of this lane, go to the next lane. And I listened, because I've always listened for the most part since my mid to late 30s to that inner voice. And I pulled out into the center lane, and within 5 seconds, there was a massive multi-car collision in that lane that I was in. I would have been right in the middle of that pileup had I not listened to that voice. So it's really important when you hear that inner voice to listen to it, isn't it?
Certainly. And I'm very grateful that you didn't stay in that lane. So that is an example. Yes, you know, that wasn't your experience to have to be in a crash. So I've done a lot of reading and so forth about 911, you know, with the Twin Towers. And interestingly, there were people who, for one reason or another, they were late or they missed their flight that day, or, you know, something was changed. You know, there's a divine orchestration that operates, and there are certain experiences that the soul needs. Now, does the soul actually plan when it's going to exit? Yes, roughly. I wouldn't say to the moment, because it doesn't know anything about linear time, but it certainly knows when the lessons are complete here on this physical plane. See, the important thing to really realize is that life is continuous. There is no end of life. If there's anything that mediumship is valuable to help people understand in the understanding from the spiritual perspective. It's the continuity of life. We never end. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's a mind-boggling consideration.
Absolutely. No, I have been called an old soul. I know many friends who consider themselves to be old souls. Is there a reason we could keep coming back? Have we not learned our lessons, or are we meant to come back forever?
Well, I really don't know. I just know, and there's many things I don't know. What I talk about in my books and what I write about and what I teach, and I've done many years of teaching. I've taught at Lilydale, the spiritualist community in New York, and, you know, many other places. I had an office here near Pittsburgh. But what I teach is what I have directly experienced. I try to really, when I'm writing my own books, I don't read other people's books because I don't want to have a bleed through of their material. So what I have personally seen is that we come here to remove more layers from the light that is within. So it's kind of like, you know, the snake, the analogy, the well-worn metaphor of the snake walking out of that skin, because if he doesn't, he's not going to be able to expand. He's not going to be able to grow. He has to shed that old skin in order to come into his full being. So that's what we're doing here is really, we're not really adding, we're subtracting.
Mm.
And it's those layers of, you know, the thoughts that we've had, which brings me, you know, brings us to the other big topic in Wisdom from the Spirit World, and it's the Akashic Files.
Absolutely.
And those are the sum total of energetic codes, I call them, of every single thing the soul has done since the beginning of time, whenever that might be. And so every minute thought, every action, every experience that you and I have had is recorded energetically in the Akashic. They're also called the Akashic Records. Edgar Cayce, the famous American psychic, obtained a lot of his healing information from visiting the Akashic file of that person that he was reading for. So they do contain a lot of information in minute detail. And if you think of a giant tape recorder with an endless loop of tape, that's what they are. And they are attached to the soul, and they travel with the soul throughout time and space. So we're constantly adding to the files. You and I sitting here right now doing this interview, we're both adding to our Akashic file.
You've written extensively about the Akashic files in all of your books. How do you read the Akashic files or access them?
Well, you certainly don't have to be, you know, highly intuitive or a medium to read them. There are a couple of ways, you know, past life regression, with someone who is skilled in doing regressions, someone who is trained in that. There are people that I've read for who have had bleed-throughs from past lives when they're dreaming, when they're sleeping. Another way would be the experience of deja vu. And that is, you know, gee, this feels really familiar. I've been here before. I know what's down that street around the corner. You meet somebody and they feel very familiar, even though you've never met them before. You know, these are all ways, our likes, our dislikes. Edgar Cayce, there's a book out called Edgar Cayce's Story of Attitudes and Emotions. And in many of Cayce's readings, he wrote about how there's a carryover from past incarnations of present day, attitudes and emotions. Now, some of those could be very positive and they serve us, and other ones could be highly harmful. So there's always this balancing, if you think of the scales. And by the way, I wrote about the scales, the symbolism of the scales in wisdom from the spirit world and what they mean. And we're constantly doing this balancing act of meeting ourself through that thing called karma. And it highly emphasizes personal responsibility, which is another natural law. We're always responsible for what we put out, because assuredly it will return.
I had a wonderful teacher and mentor who often used an ancient Hebrew expression which translates as, everything is unfolding in divine order. Is everything pre-planned?
I believe to a certain degree, but I put more openness on that because of the element of free will. So, you know, I always tell people, one of the things I've discovered of almost 30 years of being a medium is this. Oftentimes, people do not understand. And by the way, this is one of the lessons in the wisdom from the spirit world. Our power of choice determines the quality of our life. And I think a lot of times people do not understand the true power that each of us has of making choice. And even though things are as they are, for example, right now, well, you know, I don't have the choice. I want to go out and do this and that. And but there's still the choice on how to manage that. So I don't have to be reactive to it. I can choose how I'm going to process that or handle that within myself. So is everything predetermined? To a certain degree, and that there are certain things that I want to learn in this particular incarnation. How am I going to do that, though? That's my choice as to, for example, say that I chose to, I want to have lessons of compassion in this lifetime. I'm a soul. I'm in the spirit world. I'm going to come in as a newborn baby. And I think, you know, gee, I need more lessons in compassion. My spirit guides sit with me and they go, yeah, you know, how about if we plan some experiences with you that is going to bring you in direct confrontation with needing to experience compassion and to express compassion. And so that's kind of coded in there. So I'm born and I start to go through life. Well, I could meet that that lesson of compassion in different ways, depending upon the choices that I make. I could work with, abused children to learn compassion. I could have been born into a family in which I have to do caretaking at a very young age and express compassion to a parent who is seriously ill. I've actually done readings for people like that. They never got to be children. They had to grow up when they were, you know, 6, 7 years old, taking care of a mentally ill parent or a physically ill parent. I could take care of, abandoned animals and learn compassion. I could work in hospice and learn compassion. So I think that our general lessons are there. However, we can make determination of how we're going to learn that particular lesson.
And in the process, you write an entire chapter about the power of choice. In that process, is there a way for us to determine, intuit, what the proper choice will be?
Yes, and I'll tell you what it is. And it's something all of us have. All of us that are here, that is a body. And also your emotions. So, you know, I tell people sometimes a couple of things. Number one, take a piece of paper, draw a line down the middle. On one side, write, if you make this decision, if you make this choice, you know, what are the pros of that? On the other side, what are the cons of that? And do that with each choice that you're facing. Right now, I can tell you, I've done a lot of readings for people who are in the middle of a crossroads. because of what's gone on here with this big transformative event. Another thing is you can check into your body. How does it feel when you think about a particular choice? Check in with your body. Do I feel tense? Does it make me feel relaxed? What about my breathing? You know, does that accelerate my heart rate or my respiration rate? If it's in accordance with the soul, there will be a feeling of relaxation. There will be a feeling of letting go. The body is always reflecting the consciousness that is there. The same with the emotions. The emotions really come from the ego, and they're always changing. You know, that's the value of mindfulness. It can just observe emotions but not get stuck in them. But what emotions come up when you're looking at a particular choice? So these are things that every single human being can do that you have at your immediate disposal to see which choice brings me in alignment with my divine consciousness, with my purpose, which ones might take me further away.
The Gift of Resonance. My guest, Carol J. Obley. She's the author of Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. We'll be back with more of Carol after these words on the Om Times Radio Network.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hi, this is Bill Maher. I can find humor in almost anything, but one thing I never laugh about is cruelty to animals. If you don't get the joke either, write People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, 501 Front Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23510.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Dance like a dad. It's a great way to make a moment with your kids.
First, I hold my hands out like they're on a steering wheel. Then I look over my shoulder. Next, I put it in reverse. Meep, meep, meep.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Back on Destination Unlimited, my guest this week, Carol J. Obley. She's the author of Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. The theme of forgiveness and its role in spiritual growth is woven throughout your book. Why is that vital?
I call forgiveness the cornerstone of healing. And I think a lot of people, particularly spiritually speaking, get confused about the true meaning of forgiveness. What it really means is a release of the past. And it's a conscious decision to let go of things that are not serving the purity of your own soul. It does not mean that we put our stamp of approval on actions that people have done, hurtful actions, things perhaps that we've done. I write a lot about self-forgiveness, the compelling need for self-compassion and self-forgiveness in this book as well. That's something that I personally struggled with. If there's one thing that I try to radiate, it's my realness of the struggles I have had. I think sometimes people forget that when they hear somebody who's, you know, a medium or a spiritual teacher. Believe me, I've had many, many, many painful lessons, and I still struggle with things. So what was difficult for me was self-forgiveness in my early days, my young days, my teens and 20s. I got into a lot of trouble with drugs and alcohol. I did a lot of crazy things. I hurt people. I hurt myself a lot. So when this need to forgive so that I could move forward in my own evolution, my own growth, I have really struggled with that, and it still comes up. And what I hear sometimes from that voice in my head, that internal navigator, is you're not still doing that. You've moved beyond that, so there's no need to carry those experiences any further.
Self-forgiveness, absolutely. Forgiving those who have harmed us in some way, absolutely. But what about forgiving everyone, including those that have committed the most egregious acts?
Well, I think a lot of us struggle with that. I'm no different. I'm dealing with that now. I won't go into detail, but it's not personally, it's on the collective. I guess what we have to really look at there, and I think what's helped me, is to know that there is a divine order. There is always natural law operating, and that the universe will take care of itself. So I don't need to take on the work of the universe and go and condemn somebody. You know, I'm a student of A Course in Miracles, and that is a channeled text, supposedly from the universal Christ consciousness. And I've studied it for many years. One of the main concepts in that channeled text is about forgiveness. And it says, forgiveness is my function as the light of the world. And so that's the Christ energy that is within each human being. And so if we look at the archetype, if you will, of Christ, he went through that actual literal death, which was highly symbolic of the death of the ego, in order to release those so-called sins. I personally don't use the word sin, but in Christian tradition, that's what that is. So, you know, that's the true meaning of forgiveness, is a release of all of what we thought was real. A Course in Miracles says that's all an illusion. I can forgive my brother, and they use that term generically. It could also mean women, but I forgive my brother because he is truly sinless, because we are looking through this lens of illusion here on the physical plane. Now, I haven't quite reached that point. I don't know about you. I haven't reached that point where I can go, oh, yeah, somebody like Hitler, yeah, I forgive him. And, you know, the criminals, Jeffrey Dahmer or Ted Bundy or, you know, some of the really arch, you know, criminals that have done horrendous things. I haven't reached that point, but yet there's an awareness that I think we can all have of saying, I need do nothing, as A Course in Miracles says, because, you know, there's always perfection going on. And I think that that's an allusion to, or alluding to, natural law, which always takes care of itself. So in that regard, we can forgive.
And it has been shared by many, many teachers in many, many ways. Hatred is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's where this comes in.
So even if you, I mentioned earlier in the other segment about using the body as a gauge of what's going on, I have noticed that when I get angry anymore, and yes, I get angry just like anyone else, I actually feel my blood pressure going up, and I don't have high blood pressure normally. And I feel an uncomfortable feeling in my physical body. And so that's kind of my sign to say, okay, what's out of balance here? It's much like, you know, if you go to the chiropractor and you're used to having your spine in alignment and your neck and all the vertebrae, and then something happens and you wrench your back and you go, oh, wow, does that hurt more than usual? Because you're used to being in a certain alignment where everything's flowing. So I guess, you know, at this point, I definitely feel when I come out of that alignment that my soul wants me to be in.
Absolutely. One of the most important lessons you write about, not only in Wisdom from the Spirit World, but also your other books, is about the bond of love being eternal and indestructible by death. Why is that important for people to know?
It's important so that it can alleviate suffering. What do I mean by suffering in this case? Grief. Now, in no way am I suggesting that you have to grieve the physical loss of a person or a pet. You have to do that, or a job, or anything else that we were attached to. I believe it's very necessary to go through the grieving process. However, the bond, if we really know, and not in our head, but in our heart, that the bond of love continues and is eternal, it can alleviate a lot of suffering in knowing that that person or that pet in the spirit world can actually be closer to us in a spiritual sense than perhaps they were even when they were here in a physical body. And that's how it helps. And also, there are many, many people, hundreds, thousands I've read for, and sometimes they'll say, you know, am I going to see that? Am I going to be with my husband again? Am I going to be with my child again or my mother? And I'll say 100%. Well, how do you know that? Because the bond of love is eternal. And it is the strongest substance in the universe. And I am not here referring to an airy-fairy romantic, you know, view of love. That's not what this means. But the underlying connection of that spiritual awareness between souls. And it's, I think that we get a very, very diluted, weak version of it here. And I don't think we truly know that until we return to source in the spirit world.
In Wisdom from the Spirit World, you offer resources to build one's spiritual connection. What are some of those?
Well, I alluded to some of these before. Nature, great way to, as a resource, to make that connection. Animals, connection with non-human beings. Why? Because animals radiate presence, which is the pure form of the spiritual connection or the spiritual essence. Meditation, of course. And that can actually, it doesn't have to be quiet meditation. You can do gardening. That's a form of meditation. You can walk. Be in each step. Be in your hands when your hands are going into the earth if you're gardening. Without labeling anything, without judging it. That is the pure essence. That's the pure expression of spirit. Another one is journaling or writing. When I first took mediumship training many years ago, we were highly encouraged to write. In fact, it was a requirement in the training that we had to write down our impressions. We had to write down what we felt, thought, saw. And I think that is a very powerful way to get in touch with things that can be quite nebulous that are running around in our minds. So those are all valuable tools that we can have. Prayer is another tool.
And she shares many of these in her new book, Wisdom from the Spirit World, Life Teachings on Love, Forgiveness, Purpose, and Finding Peace. Carol J. Obley, please tell our listeners one more time where they can get your books and find out more about you and your wonderful work.
My website is soulvisions.net. And I also have a professional Facebook page. It's facebook.com/soulmedium, S-O-U-L plus the word medium. And also all of my books are on Kindle and Nook and Amazon.com.
And one more time, your upcoming webinars.
Yes, Foundations of Mediumship, which starts in January. That's a six-week course. And then in March, and the dates are listed under webinars on soulvisions.net, the Exploring the Archetypes of the Tarot.
Wonderful. Carol, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing these messages of hope and connection.
Oh, my pleasure, Victor. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you for joining us on Destination Unlimited. I'm Victor, the Voice Furman. Have a wonderful week.